this has been a marvelous week. One of our sweet ladies, Mary Tillman, got to leave where it was uncomfortable and go to where it was glorious. She died and is with the Lord, and we were able to celebrate her life on Friday. For her two daughters who are here, and for so many of her friends, we will remember Mary Tillman's smile for a long time. It's a great thing. Also, a great event yesterday. How many of you walked 9.1 miles yesterday? Anybody walk 9.1 miles? I bet you did. Yeah, I bet you did. But our dear brother Jack Pope made his annual birthday circuit of the Town Lake walking path yesterday in celebration of your 96th birthday. And so we just honor you. And we love you. Everybody that loves Dr. Pope. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the hard part about walking 9.1 miles when you're 96 is the 96. Yeah, that's the hard part. So many good things going on. The reading of the Word from Titus chapter 2 tells us that when Titus went to Crete, he had a job to do. And the job was to talk to the people about the kind of new world that God was interested in creating. That God was not interested in just bringing some new knowledge, but into a world in which the people were evil brutes and liars and gluttons. They didn't need a new thought. They needed a new way of life. They needed someone who would come in and look at the culture that they had and say, this is not a culture that we're going to try to preserve. All of this culture that has been here for centuries, that has been godless, and when it was godly, it was idolatry. All of this culture is not going to be preserved if God has His way. It's going to be reformed. It's going to be renewed. That God has come because He's looked at it. So there's got to be a better way. People are saying rude things about God these days. God's not good. God's not real. A lot of things about God. But one of the things that you hear in Titus is that God knows. God knows what's going on Crete. God has always known what's going on in the world. God has known when people were mistreating one another. God has known when people didn't love one another. God has known when husbands and wives were at war, when children were mistreated. God knew in the Old Testament when the children of Israel had decided that the way to the good life was to sacrifice their sons and daughters in the Valley of Topheth. When they thought that was doing church to take Junior to the valley, to sanctify the building of a house by sacrificing your child on the cornerstone of the house. God knew that that was going on. And what we hear is that this kind of behavior has broken the heart of God, but that God, in His great love, continues in Christ to turn toward the ones who need His help and not away from Him. Turn toward the sin. Turn toward the misuse. Turn toward the hatred and the lack of love. God turns toward it, and He turns toward it in Jesus Christ, and He sends His own Son. because God is passionate about us being a new people. And just as God knew what was going on Crete, He also knows what's going on here. And God loves us, and He sees us exactly the way we are right now. I don't know exactly who everyone is in the room. There are some great Christians who've been just marinating in holiness for a long time, and that's wonderful. There may be some of you just walked in off the street just to see what's going on in the room. Bless you. Welcome. But all of us need to understand that we are at the very focal point of the love of God. And that God's great and passionate love has been expressed in Jesus Christ. And that the overwhelming emotion that He has for all of us is His great and unrelenting love. That begins with us exactly the way we are at this very moment. God loves you. Now, He loves us in such a way that He'll take us as we are, but you've heard before, He loves us too much to want to leave us that way. And so God is in the business of making people. God is in the business of making people. God is in the business of people renewal. You've heard of urban renewal. God is in the business of people renewal. God wants to change us from one position to another position to another position, from one level of maturity to another level of maturity to yet another level of maturity. God is not happy with us, not finished with us, just moving us from darkness to light, but He wants to move us to ever increasing intensities of light. God is in the business of changing us. He comes and He says, you must be born again. And in Christ, we can be born again. You must be renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit. He sends His Spirit. He adds us to the body of the church. And what you hear in the letter to Titus is that the church is a part of God's people-making will. The church is not an accident. The body of the church is not a mistake. The life in the church is not a comedy or a tragedy. But the church is a factory. The church is a factory family where we are being always pushed to the next level of spiritual maturity. You read it as you read along with Annette. That there is a word that comes for the older men, and there's a word for the younger men, and there's a word for the older women, and through the older women, there's a message for the younger women, and even the slaves have a message that they are supposed to hear. And everyone is teaching and learning and teaching and learning. I call what's going on in the church a full court press. Three times in the letter to Titus, Titus hears that God is our Savior. Three times in Titus, Titus hears that Christ is our Savior. Again and again in Titus, we are reminded of the work that is done by the Holy Spirit. All of the Godhead is involved in what is happening in the life of the church. When we come together, it is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. All of God is interested. All of the great one and three God is interested in what we are being about in this very place. God is here. When you came and we sat together and we incorporated ourselves as a temple of God this morning, worshiping and honoring God here, God is present. And even now, God is moving us and changing us and shaping us as we sit and we hear with our ears that God wants to change us and shape us, and we sense inside of ourselves the flesh saying, not me, I'm not changing, I don't want to change, I don't want to be changed, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to have to deal with this fact or that fact of my life, I'm not changing. Even in this very moment, all of what is God in the universe is focused in what is happening in this very place. And the word has come that the older men are examples for the younger men, and the older women are examples for the younger women, and everyone is on task, teaching and learning. And our prayer in the life of this church is that we become more intentionally a people-making church. In churches, there's often a great focus on planning what the product will be. What is the church's vision? What is the church's goal? What do you want to be? What's the product out there? And people are often just caught up in numbers. This past weekend, Annette and I were working at a retreat where one of the couples at the retreat had come from Georgia, and they had been let go by their congregation after 13 years or so of ministry in that church because the church had decided to become a mega church. And decided that the 900 people there were not nearly enough, but they should become a church of 20,000. And this couple, with years of faithful ministry, were let go because they did not attract the right demographic. And the goal was a number out there, a number. I understand that. I understand that you can be driven by those kinds of things, those numbers and those glories and those ambitions. But rather than being driven by that kind of goal, my great hope in the life of this church is that we would be a church that is more interested in how we process as a church, by the spiritual processes that are ongoing in the life of this church, that there is Bible study and there is worship and there is mentoring and there is service and there is love and there is friendship and there is prayer. And out of these great and Christian processes, we will let God provide the product. As one person has said, our job is not to make the wine. Our job is to carry the water. Our job is to provide the environment in which God can work. Our job is to provide the willingness to pray over Matt Duffner's knee and leg. Our job is to show up and pray. It is God's job to make the knee, the leg, all of it grow. How's God doing, man? He's doing fine. God is doing His job. Our job is to show up and be the right kind of people, the right transformed people, and to say to the community around us, we don't want to be 20,000. We don't want to be any number. We want to promise you that we are a church that makes people. By God's grace, we are a people-making church. If you don't want to be made, if you don't want to be transformed, if you want to sit in a church like a chicken sits in a hen house and just sit there and cluck, you know, maybe we're not your church. Now, we like clucks, because every now and then a cluck decides to become something. That's a good thing. just kind of comes over you. I'm just sitting in the hen house. I could become something. That's great. That's great. But I know of churches who, without a thought for what their size would be, have made a simple commitment to be the right kind of intentional, people-making fellowship, depending on God, trusting God, and loving one another, and God has blessed those churches. Not because they thought they were the ones to make the wine, but because they thought they were the ones to find the water. God sees us as we are, and He loves us, and He brings all of Himself to transform us. God calls the church to be a part of that great people-making effort. So the body of the church, Christ in the world, is a part of that work. The last piece that I want you to hear this morning is that by God's grace, we are given the freedom to change from one level of maturity to the next. You heard it in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We've read that and read that and read that. That's what's going on when Annette read the earlier passage. What is going on? What's going on is that these older men and older women and younger men and younger women are learning from the grace of God to say no to what is worldly and lost. And it's in a context of grace. Now let me tell you what I think that means. It's really good. If we lived under the law, and our objective was to become a transformed people, then every time we make a mistake, we are guilty of the whole law. You break the law, you break one part of the law, you're guilty of breaking all of the law. That's the way it is with the law. And the overwhelming connotation of life under the law is that you are guilty. And shame on you. And you're guilty. And we know that. And when someone hammers us over the head with the fact that we've broken the law, our own condemning heart speaks up and says, "Preach it, brother! You don't know half how bad this guy is, really. You ought to see how he looks in here. What he thinks and what he says and what he mumbles." But grace comes to us, the grace of God in Jesus Christ comes to us in a different way and says, you are not saved by perfect performance. You are not saved by your perfection. You are saved by your grace. And let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean that how you live doesn't matter. What it means is that you get to work with how you live in a context of grace. When you fall down, stand up. Don't die. When you fail, start over. You are living in the context of God's sweet, amazing, second chance, constantly renewing, new creation, grace. Don't quit. Don't quit. How many of you, when you were teaching your little boy to ride a bicycle, when he fell down the first time off the bicycle, you took the bicycle up and you threw it in the trash? That's what the law does. The law says you can't ride a bicycle. You fell over once. Sorry. You're done. Grace says, hey, you sat on the seat. Good job. We made it down. We made it through 6 feet on the road. Great. Let's get back on the saddle. Let's ride some more. Grace says, I'll run along beside the bicycle and I'll hold the seat so you don't fall over. Any of you have done that? That's good. That's good exercise. Grace says, I can take your human failures and turn them into glory if you'll stay with me. Grace says, for God is at work in all things for the good of those who love Him. That God is involved in all things. In all of the circumstances of your life, God is involved in all the temptations of your life to turn them to His good. God is even able to work over the sin in your life to turn it to His glory. God says, I will take even your most dismal failure and turn it to blessing if you will stay with me. I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to fail. But I want you to know, Christ is on the cross. The blood has soaked into the ground. The nails are in His hands and His feet. The gash is in His side. He stands at my right side and He speaks for you. Live your life. Grow your life. Live in the context of the church. Become all of the new creation you can be. Men and women in Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. That's what grace says. And it says to me, as I look at you through the eyes of grace, are you a failure? Sure. Have you fallen down? Of course. Are there some shameful things in your past? Are there some shameful things in your presence? I bet you. And we are not going to kiss and make up with sin. Sin's still sin, and it's horrible. But grace says, even our sin's not the last word in our life, because we're a people-making church. We're a church where people are offering themselves as living sacrifices and are being transformed by the very mercy of God into a new creation. And I want you to know that's how I see you. I don't know if it matters to you how I see you, but I've been watching you for a while. What great folks. What honest dealers with Jesus. You have great pains and great victories. You have great concerns, great loves. I don't know everybody here, but every conversation, every glancing handshake, I see you partially anyway. And if what I see is only a part of what God sees, what a great work God has already been doing in this place. Let us continue to be a people-making church. Because we're not done yet being formed into the very nature of God. God sees us. He calls us into the people-making oven of the church. And by His grace provides the environment in which true and honest change can occur. This morning, if you're not in Christ, then I would challenge you this morning to let the people-making grace of God begin in you. By dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. And we'd love to help you do that this morning. Let's stand and sing.